So the Mishnah Mem Aleph. So the Mishnah and the Gemara talks about what's the din of a woman who loses her husband? When is she allowed to remarry? What limitations are there? So the first issue that the Gemara discusses, which is nogeya to a case of Yibum, or really to any woman whose husband dies, is that a woman can't remarry or she can't do Yibum until 3 months has passed since the husband died. Why? Because of Havchana. Havchana, you want to be Mavchin, you want to know who the kid belongs to, in case the woman should be pregnant and gives birth, and we won't know. We don't want to have a situation where we don't know who the actual father is. And the Gemara tells us that this is a very chamur takana, and Chazal made a low plug here, that no matter what, you have to wait 3 months. Meaning, even if you know she's not pregnant from the first husband. And the halacha we hold, even if she just had erusin with the first husband, so hopefully for sure she's not pregnant. Or even if she's a ketana. The Gemara says, even if Eliyahu would come, Eliyahu Navi would come and say, you're not pregnant, she still won't be allowed to remarry. So therefore, that's what's accepted, l'halacha, that no matter what, she can't remarry, even if you do a pregnancy test. The Beis Yosef says, even if there was surgery done to the woman and they took out her uterus, afal pikein, she can't remarry, you just have to have those 3 months. So why is this? Why is it so important? Right, it's nice to know who your father is. Okay, what's so bad if you have two Suffolk fathers? Stama, they'll both give birthday presents, no? So, Shmuel says, from a pasuk, he quotes a pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha. V'akimosi esbrisi b'ini uveinecha u'bein zarecha acharecha lebris olam, v'yos l'cha l'alukim u'lezarecha acharecha. I'm going to have a bris with you to be for you v'alukim. And the pasuk repeats twice, to you, u'lezarecha acharecha. The bris is to you and the zarecha acharecha. So why is that said here? Why, what's the extra word? Repeated twice. Zaracha acharecha. That it's dafka, your zera, who's mesiachis to you. Al yidei that you know who your kids are, that makes the bris with your kids. If you don't have that ichos, there's some sort of a pagam in your kids that they don't know who their father is. So the Gemara doesn't explain it so much. I just say the Hezber. The Hezber is just that the Pasuk he's quoting is the Pasuk of Bris Milah, the Bris Milah with Avram Avinu. And Bris Milah of Avram Avinu, that's the Bris. And it's the Dafka that the father gives over the Bris to his kid. You have to know who your father is, because the concept behind the Bris, you know, it's interesting. Why is the Bris B'makam the Milah? Why there? Why not on, I don't know, our nose? Like, what? Why is that the B'makam HaBris? The makom hapris is the makom of toldos, what you're using to create toldos. You're creating your toldos is coming mikedushas habris, that the bris is with Avram Avinu, and then Avram and everyone from Yisrael, when they have a kid, they're having the kid with the kedushas habris. The bris is there to say that this is being used, that the milah is being used the same kedusha. So maybe the kid has to keep the bris because he was created, called into this world, created by the father who was a bar bris, and the same kedusha, bringing his son into the world, the same bris. If the kid doesn't know who his father is, so there's something lacking there. A person, his link in the chain that he's connected to this bris is because my father, with kedusha bris, brought me into the world, and therefore I have to accept the bris. Right? By bris milah, the chiv is bedafka on the father. The Rambam says that's why the father has bedafka, extra bracha, lachnisa lebriso shel Avram Avinu. That's a mitzvah given just to the father, because the father, through bris, is doing this mitzvah. So mamela, person's got to know who his father is. Okay, so that's the first point. Right, so that's the din of Havchana. It's also other areas, you know. My Zaidi would tell me before I had a baby, make sure that you recognize the baby before the nurses take it. Because the nurse is a guy, a guy, a woman doesn't have an emunah, so you have to see the baby so that you can know for sure this is your baby. Maybe the baby will get back, it'll be a wonderful, wonderful baby. But even if it's a Jewish baby, but it has to be, you have to know, even though it is your baby, you have to know. You know, there's an organization called PUA. That's interesting. Mechon PUA, the main thing that they do, at least that I know about, is that they provide hashgacha for people who need fertility treatment. They provide hashgacha so that you don't have to rely on the gaya, right? They keep your embryos or they keep the zera and use it for whatever they use it for the IVF and the artificial insemination. But they have hashgacha. They have a series of hashgacha that no guy is allowed to open it or look it or transfer it without having a mashgiach there. Because if you don't have the mashgiach, you don't have this maila of actually yidia of who the father really is. This is an interesting tosfos on Lamed Zayin. This is going back, beginning of the Perek on Lamed Zayin. Very interesting tosfos. It just has interesting kash in the sugya. He says, why is 3 months enough? The Gemara says that after the first trimester, so then it's nikur if the woman's pregnant or not, and therefore she can remarry, because you see, oh, you can tell if she's pregnant. If she was pregnant, you'd be able to tell. Frek tosfos, you should need 3 months and 3 days. You should need an additional 3 days. Why? Because the Gemara says, Zinita, that the Zera is viable for 3 days. Right? After a man has Tashma, the woman doesn't necessarily become pregnant immediately. Right? The Zera sits inside the woman, and if within 3 days the woman should ovulate and there should be an egg, it could be fertilized. After 3 days already, the Zera starts falling apart, right? That's the actual metzias, medical metzias. So up till 3 days, the zera could be it could make her pregnant. So Mimela, why is 3 months enough? Maybe she didn't get pregnant right away. Maybe she only got pregnant 3 days after her husband died. So that's v'choshish. So Tov says, okay, you're not choshish. You're not choshish because 3 months is enough to be sure enough. Okay, so it could be, but this is enough. The Node of Yehuda has a very interesting tshuva. Says something, sounds very strange. In Evan Ezra Simon Samach Tess. So he says he's not happy with Tosus. I don't know, I can say he's not happy, but he says, if you'd ask him, he doesn't think it's Pashit. He thinks that a woman whose husband dies without children, so really there's a chashash that maybe she has to become pregnant right away. He says like this. He says, he doesn't understand, why shouldn't we be choshish for these 3 days? Maybe she didn't get, she only got, if she knows she had tashmish, right afterwards her husband dies, and then 9 months later she has a baby. You know, 9 months and 1 day later she has a baby. Okay, maybe it is from the original husband, and maybe you're not mut, right? Maybe you're not mutaras l'shuk, because after all, maybe it's possible that the Zera is really from the original husband. So another Yehuda says a tremendous chiddush, a wild chiddush. It's like just shocking that he says it. But he said, no, he thinks that in the chinami, if the husband died and there was no fetus yet, so the woman's no filiyivim right away. Right? Because the maestro, she's not pregnant. Is she pregnant? No. There's some of the zera of the Baal in her. Okay, but the Baal's dead. There's no, that zera hasn't done anything. It's just sitting in her. He says she falls to Yibo. 2 days later, she's going to ovulate. Right? Second day of Shiva, the woman's going to get pregnant. Nobody says it doesn't matter. She still has Yibo, even though she has a bar kayama from the first husband. He says, why? Because it's just Zara. She dies in Ben Einlob. He died without any children. That's another to the right. It sounds comical, right?
Yibum stands?
What?
Yibum stays after the
kid. And Yibum stays. He writes. This shocking, he writes it. You know, but he contemplates, he says, if the baby was born 9 months after the first husband died, she knows she had beer right before the husband died. He says he thinks that she should have to chalitza, even though she has a bar kayama. Why? Because in a chinami, there's a bar kiyama from the first husband, but there's really no bar kiyama because when he died, there was no bar kiyama. As I write to know the Behuda, okay, it's shocking, right? Yeah? Well, Maisa, the Tosus doesn't agree. I don't know why the know the Behuda argues. But it's just interesting. The Tosus says, L'chayr, what Tosus will hold is what's Pasha. They said, okay, when he died, there were no kids. What was it? There was some Zera. And that Zera, there's still a din. That's not called him Ein Lo Ben, because it's Ayin Alav. As long as it's the possibility to have a Ben, that is still Bechlal Ayin Alav. Could be you'll have a Ben, and the Mela, there's no din of Yibam. That's Pashat. So, that was the thing that's Pashat. That's just the fact there's a possibility that she might have a kid. So I don't care right now. I don't care right now that there's no kid. But he might have a kid. Okay, so that was Pshanatosis. That's Pshanat Ayin Alav. Yeah.
Why is that any different, the day of the ovulation versus 2 days before? It's like, is that any more viable of a thing? Just because today, like, the first day, like, there's fertilization, but, like, there's nothing there. There's no embryo yet.
Right, okay, that's a good point. So not, that's Kasha on the Node Behuda. Yeah, I hear that loud and clear. Okay. Lemaisi, he says, there's a... The svara is lamaisa. Well, there is zera. There's nothing here. Okay, it's just interesting. Just I had one thought. La halacha. I didn't see anyone say, and I just a little bit surprising, but it's an interesting point. It's just that if there's zera, there's no yibam, even though there's no embryo. There's nothing. Right? There's just this ma'ayra. Just an interesting question is that, you know, today they have all sorts of fertility treatment where people, you know, this is some dying without kids. They have stored embryos and stored zera that they use for artificially trying to help them get pregnant. Chalila, some dies. It's a depressing case, but in love, it's exciting. So, person dies, okay, dies without children, but what does he do? There's a bank that has his zera in it. Some form of his zera or his embryos are there. So what's the din? What would the din be? So I would assume fetosis comes out that if 10 years later this woman succeeds in having one of these embryos implanted, the dead husband, long dead, he has a kid, that l'mafre makes its notes in Yibam. So l'chayra, that should be true, that she should be able to get out of Yibam and Chalitza even 10 years later. L'chayra should be true. But we're coming out of that the reverse case is if she wants to do Chalitza and remarry right away, the chayyur should have to destroy any zera or embryos that exist. She should have to be able to destroy it. If she can't destroy it, that should still be b'chal ayin alav. Okay, this is just food for thought. Okay, yeah, Rav Chanoch.
What about that gemara with the bathtub?
Yeah, so it relates to the gemara. There's a gemara in Chagiga about a bathtub, and it's brought, actually, there's a berhetev that brings it in Hilchos Nidah and Simchat Tzadi Hei. Amazing berhetev. It says that a woman has to be careful not to sleep on a sheet that has someone else's zera on it, a different man's zera on it. Okay, sounds weird. Why would she do that? Okay, but she shouldn't do that because if some of it goes into her, she'll become pregnant from it, and then what? I think that's enough. That's enough to scare you away, if this is possible. But she says that'll be terrible because her son will be the son of the actual husband who produced the zera, and then maybe her real son will marry that guy's daughter, right? And that'll be terrible, it'll make them zayir. Okay? This is Berhetev. Okay, it's the real makoros. I'm sorry, this sounds so strange. You can look there. There's even a chazah, whatever. There's all. Yeah.
So the father's actually the father if it's in the bathtub.
He assumes the father's actually a father. This is Maril, if you're interested in these sort of in Yanim, who says that Ben Sira, he claims to have a chazal. We don't have it, that Ben Sira was the son of Yirmiah. That Yirmiah somehow, some of Zera went out in a bathhouse and got to Ben Sira's mother. I don't understand it, but he says that you see from there, from this chazal, that gives a din of yichas. Okay. So that's the first issue here. The first issue here is the sugya of havchana. The second sugya mentioned by the Gemara is that even if the woman is known to be pregnant, so she can't remarry, even though we know that the baby belongs to the first husband, but then there's a separate problem that a person can't marry a woman who is pregnant from another man, a woman who's either pregnant or nursing from someone else. That's Isser. Why not? So the Gemara says because it's because of the rights of the baby, the rights of the fetus. That the Maskanas HaGemara, the Gemara talks about, first of all, that maybe the husband, the new husband, won't be careful enough and will cause the woman to miscarry by having Bia without being careful. The end of the Gemara seems to say the Maskana is that no, it's not fair to the Uber because this baby now is going to be born, and then the mother has to nurse him. So the mother has to nurse him. What's going to happen? The husband, the new husband, is going to have Bia with her, get her pregnant while she's nursing. When a woman becomes pregnant while nursing, so it closes up her milk supply, lessens her milk supply, and the mela, what's going to come out of that is that the baby's not going to get enough milk. Ah, a problem. So therefore, the baby is like tainting, I don't want my mother to remarry because it's going to hurt me. So what about every married couple? How does every married couple have babies and then have another baby? So in a Chanami, Rabbi Meir says that they should use birth control. I believe it or not, Rabbi Meir holds that you should be mishamish b'moch. They should use a moch, the ancient type of contraceptive, for the first 2 years while she's nursing, so she shouldn't become pregnant, because it's not fair for the baby. Although the Gemara says that, the Gemara says, Lemaisa, we don't do that. Right? It might be a heter, but it's definitely no chiyuv to use birth control the first 2 years. So, rather, what the Gemara says is because when it's the couple, the original couple, husband and wife, so they're having the baby, and then they're nursing, and then if she gets pregnant again, we're not so worried about that. Because the actual father is going to make sure that his nursing baby is taken care of. If they don't have enough milk, he'll make sure to get formula. He'll get what they use. It says they use milk and eggs. They have some sort of mixture that they would give in place of to supplement the milk. They'll figure out what to do. They'll get a menekes to come. They used to hire out women who wet nurses could be hired out. He'll figure out what to do. But if she's married to someone who really, deep down, wishes the woman he married was not pregnant when he married her, he doesn't like the idea of having someone else's baby in his house. So in male, he's not really going to work on behalf of the baby, and therefore the baby has a taina. The baby doesn't want the mother to remarry. Tosefta in Nida, Perek Beis, it quotes this thing and it connects it to a pasuk. It quotes a pasuk in Mishlei. It says, Al tasik vul olam, v'al tavav stei yisomim. Mishlei says, don't move the borders, don't cross over the gvul olam, that eternal boundaries, and don't trespass into the field of yisomim. The pasuk says, this is talking about a person who marries a pregnant or nursing woman, because he's going into these boundaries, he's crossing boundaries, the rights of this baby. So that's the chashash. The Rambam, when he brings it, he also brings that in addition to the fear of nursing, there's also the fear that the husband will damage this baby by having tashmish. Now the tashmish itself, if he has tashmish, right, sometimes it's actually a real thing, that a woman, if she has tashmish at the wrong time, sometimes that could induce her to go into early labor and different things if he doesn't behave properly in tashmish. So that's what they're afraid of. So the Rambam writes that's also a chashash here. Rashi writes in our Gemara, the pashat our Gemara is that the maskanis is just a fear of not having enough milk. Rashi says the maskanis had Gemara, the Gemara, Rashi learns, the Gemara rejected the tzad that he's actually going to cause the baby to die. And Rashi writes, he says, "She'ein adam mischavin l'harag nefesh." We're not choshish that the husband is not going to be really careful. He's going to be too rough because a person is not choshed to kill someone. He's not a murderer here. So, like, okay, he's not going to be generous enough. He's not going to work hard enough to help this baby who's not getting enough milk supply, but he's not going to kill his baby. No, he's not a murderer. So that's what Rashi says. So that's Machlokas Rabbim and Rashi, Ari Choshish, Achshashi's going to somehow come to kill the baby. Okay. So just I just want to mention one point on that. Just on that. It happens to be an interesting point in Halacha, because, you know, everyone knows that the issur of abortion is very chamer, right? There's Tosfos on Sanhedrin says that, even though a yid isn't chayv misa for killing Uber, but it's still b'chal the issur d'raisa. There's a p'tur. A ben Noach is killed for abortion, a yid's not, but a yid is more kaddish than a ben Noach, so if a ben Noach has an isser, so too a yid has isser deraisa to do abortion, and that, well, it's definitely accepted that except by sakhanas the fascists, you can never do an abortion. There are those who have been more makel, right? It's very, you know, there's one says shir, no one say the name, if you know the name, but so someone gave a shir in yeshiva and it was very makel, seems just like there's no big problem having abortions. I think everyone listened to it was shocked. But the emphasis is you have this Gemara right here. It doesn't say mamish es ritzicha, but we have such a chamer takana to make sure maybe somehow the husband's not going to be careful enough in the Uber, and maybe it'll come to somehow cause the Uber to be miscarried. So mamela, that's one pasha thing. That's a very chamer, and post can deal with very chamer this chashash. Now, just the halacha lemaisa. This is a very it's difficult chumra in a way, because now we're asking a woman theoretically for a long time. She gets divorced or widowed, and she wants to remarry, but she's pregnant, so now she has to wait. The Gemara says she has to wait 2 years after she gives birth, because some woman nursed for up to 2 years. So that's a pella. So the big shaila is, does that still apply b'zman hazeh? Because b'zman hazeh, of course, well, so many women don't even nurse. Now they're wrong for not doing that. Chazal are extremely machshavah when we're nursing. Right? So I can't give too much biology class, but you know, a woman's natural milk gives things a formula that it doesn't give. A baby gets his antibodies through his mother's milk. We even allow a woman to eat on Yom Kippur if she's not going to have enough milk to nurse her baby. It's a very chashiv thing. We don't just say, oh, a formula is just as good. It's really not so pashut. But lemaisa, many women don't nurse. Nobody nurses so long as they used to. You don't really find any, you know, doctors will tell you it's good to nurse for a year, maybe up to a year and a half. You don't find people really nursing for 2 years. And what about bechlal? We have formula today. What, this kid's going to, you know, you don't have to run out and hire a wet nurse anymore. Lemaisa, if his milk supply gets diminished, so what's the big deal? And what if you say, okay, Chazal say don't get married. We'll get married, but before we get married, the woman's going to buy a big crate full of Similac formula, and the Baal's going to accept he has no reshus on it. It's completely her property, no matter how bad this husband is, no matter how much he hates her first husband. He's not going to be able to kill this baby. So like, we're safe. Like, well, so what's just the din halacha lemaisa? So, a lot of talk about this. So, the Gemara Ksuga, so it's pretty machmer. It says, even if she weans her baby, she still can't remarry. Why? Because we're afraid the only reason she weans her baby, she stopped nursing, was because she wants to remarry. If she weans her baby before her first husband dies, or before she's divorced, so then we know that she did it l'shma. It wasn't in order to remarry, so then we would allow her to remarry. You know, different shailas. You know, if she stopped nursing because she was sick, and it's clear to us that there was no ill intent. Right, we're very afraid she's going to want to stop nursing and she's going to hurt the baby because she wants to remarry. You know, we don't want that to happen. Okay, so that's something that could make a heter if the Rav sees that she stopped nursing for a real bona fide medical reason. More than that, the what could be matter? So the Gemara in Ksuvis gives this case. It says Rav Nachman was matter in the house of the Reish Galusa. There was a woman in the Reish Galusa's house who got divorced or got widowed, and she wanted to remarry. He said she could remarry. Why? because she had a menekes. She had already hired a wet nurse, another woman that used to go in those days. They would hire women to nurse their babies. So the Gemara asks, could everyone do this, just hire a menekes? The Gemara says, no. By a regular menekes, we're afraid the menekes might back out, right? She might find someone who pays better for her services. But by the Reish Galus's house, they're really chashiv and powerful, and the menekes there had to work for them. They were the boss. They would not stand for anyone quitting on them in that way and putting their baby in danger. So therefore, they're so sure the baby's going to get milk. Therefore, it's okay. So that's what the Gemara says. The Rama says, it's an Ebenezer Siman Yud Gimel, he says, if the woman has a menekes and the menekes swears that she's not going to leave the baby, she's not going to quit her job, he says, then b'diyeve they can stay married. He says, still l'chatchila to be choshesh, because still, maybe she won't keep her shvua. So Rav Moshe talks about this in Ebenezer Chelek Beis. He has a bunch of truths on this. What to do if it's so clear that she's taking care of, this baby's going to be okay. He does not give any straight out, any heter, really. He says it's a sniffle heter, but he really wants to see, he wants more heter. He's very scared because he says this is something new. We don't find this heter in Poskim. So mice, it's something that can be used. Sometimes heterim are given, but you need a lot to create the heter. Rav Moshe does have a heter. He says, b'shas tzorach, you can just wait 18 months instead of 24 months. So that's the chiddush. He gets it from Shlomo Kluger. He says, in the Gemara, we see there's a machlokus if nursing is for 18 months or 24 months. He says, l'maisa, 18 or 24 months. So he says, l'maisa, even though the Gemara comes out 24 months, l'maisa, in our day that we see no one nurses for more than 18 months, Rav Moshe thinks that could be a kula. Because there's some room for kula, but it's a chamadin that be'ikur, but pasha still applies b'sman hazeh. Look, the last third issue here. This is an Indian, really, we're being very tangential here. The truth is, Gemara's and Tilmem Dalet are really very tangential, you know, not a Iker, Yivam Stikasugis. So, the last point mentioned in the Mishnah is a woman can't remarry in the first month because she's in Avelis. So Rabbi Yossi says, even though Rabbi Yossi says, an arusa, a woman who's just an arusa, he holds she could remarry in less than 3 months, not the way we hold, but he says there's a general cloud that any aval can't remarry within the first month. So they can't have erusin. He says even erusin, they're not allowed to have erusin during avelus, and therefore even if a woman's in avelus, not to her husband, even if it's just she lost a parent or a sibling, Lamaisa, she's in Avelis, she can't get married in the month of Avelis. And the Gemara says, whole sugi here, but the Gemara comes out that even if there's no suda for the Erisin, so it's not that much simcha, afal pikein, having Erisin itself causes simcha, and an aval and shloshim can't have simcha. Okay, so that's adin lamaisa, then a halacha lamaisa, an aval in 30 days can't have kedusha. Fine. And emphasis is really pasha. It's just talking about kedushin. The students even more pasha they can't have. But even if it's just erusin, they're not actually getting married, but just the simcha that goes with erusin, that's enough to stop to be asa. Also, that point is not so important lahalacha. Right? We don't even have erusin separate from the suin today. But the Gemara has one really important point here. I wanted to talk out because it's important lahalacha, and there's a very important kuda here on Mem Gimel about the 9 days and Tisha B'Av and the dinim of the difference between actual avelus and the dinim of Tisha B'Av in the 9 days. So the Gemara has a kasha, right? The Gemara deals with this at length. This kasha. The kasha is that we're saying, and this is halacha, you can't have erusin, and aval can't have erusin, the whole shloshim, the whole time of shloshim. Aye, but we know, it's beferish, that in Shlusha Chalpo. And in fact, there's a Gemara that says even on Tisha B'Av itself, Erusin is Mutter. Erusin is Mutter because it's a mitzvah, because we want them to get married. If they don't get married, Shem Nikta Meno Acher, maybe the marriage won't happen. And therefore, in deference to the mitzvah, such an important mitzvah, we allow them to get married, even on Tisha B'Av, and Shul Shekin in 9 days. So it's mutter, so the Gemara is bothered. If it avails us in Shloshim, we don't allow Erusin, so Shvur Shechalbo, for sure we shouldn't allow Erusin, because in Shvur Shechalbo, we're more machmor than Shloshim. Shloshim, some things are aser, but on Tisha B'Av itself, you have all the dinim of Shiva. In Shvur Shechalbo, you also are more machmer than regular Shloshim. You don't have all the dinim of Shiva like Tisha B'Av, but there's an iser of washing clothing. Washing clothing is one of the surim that's dafka in Shiva. You have an iser of doing business. You're supposed to be mamat. You shouldn't do so much business in Shvur Shechalbo. So these are things that are more chamer than regular Shloshim. So why is it that an aval is not allowed to do erusin, but suddenly by Shvur Shechalbo and Tisha B'Av we allow a person to do erusin? You say, oh, it's a mitzvah, you could do it because it's a mitzvah. So answers the Gemara, gives us teretz, is because l'maisa, even though in the scope of the surim of the 9 days, there's a lot of the surim, but it's just avelas yishana, it's old avelas, right? A person loses his relative, it's new, real avelas, it's a real din. First day would be a din deraisa, it's real din of avelas. This is just Yishan, it's old, it's commemorative Avelis. It's created a Zechel and Mikdash to remember the Mikdash, but it's not real Avelis. And it says also, regular Avelis is Avelis to Yachad. This is Avelis to Rabbim. Avelis to Rabbim, and therefore, you can have Erusin in the 9 days. So just what does that mean? So Rashi and Tosfos talk about what that means. Why is that we're more Mekel? So Rashi says we're more makel for the obvious reason, because it's just a din, it's yishana, meaning it's more commemorative. It's nothing actually happened now. It's not so chamer. It's just to give a zechel mikdash to remember the mikdash. Also, it's on the tzibur. It's the tzibur's mitzvah. The tzibur is going to have a display of kavod hamikdash, kavod for the churban. If one person has erusin, it's not going to stare at the whole kiyum of the avelus. Whereas by a single aval, it's his responsibility to make sure there's an aval for the mace, and memela, he can't have erusin. Meaning it's more chamer. And even though they are more isurim, perhaps, the more things are asur on Tisha B'Av than in Shloshim, but it's not as chamer. The other point what Tosu says is different pshat. Tosu says is that we're very machmer by 9 days in things that are befarhesia. The whole idea is it's a kiyum of the tzibur to create a zechel mikdash. So things that are befarhesia, we want people to be wearing dirty clothing. We don't want people to be very osik in business. We want people to be more miserable. But it's more what's on the outer nihugim. The aval, the actual aval, his own personal avelus. So we're much more worried about his own lave, and therefore we're much more worried about erusin. Erusin, without a party, no one really sees it so much. It doesn't, do anything to shtar him. But for the yachid, having erusin, it makes him very happy. So therefore, we want to avoid it. So that's the, basically. Right, so basically, b'kitzer, we're more makel by tishas hayam, and when it's a mitzvah. Even though there's a lot of things that are aser, it's not that it's not chamer, but the makel mitzvah, his yachid mitzvah, we're not going to push off his mitzvah just because of the 9 days. It's a mitzvah of erusin. So therefore, we're willing to allow it for makom mitzvah. So just say this point, it comes out a lot in the halachas of 9 days. The Rama in Tavkuf Nun Aleph, so he says that even though there's all these dinim of the 9 days, he says, ube makom mitzvah kol shari. Everything's mutter be makom mitzvah. On the 9 days, right, if you have a siyum, it becomes mutter. If a person has a chasana, they're making a chasana after the 9 days, and they have to prepare their clothes now during the 9 days. So even though it's a simcha dikah thing, they're allowed to work on the new clothes. if they need lekavod Shabbos, they don't have anything clean to wear on Shabbos, they're allowed to wash their begadim. Because the concept is, this is a tzibur dikur commemoration, but if it's going to be sosu, one of your mitzvos, so memela, we allow the person to keep his personal mitzvah. Also, there's one point here that's very lemaisa, not so well known, is the gabbai din of Talmud Torah. There's a lot of hetayim we find by Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av. Right? First of all, you're allowed to learn all the dvarim ram. Anything that's not simcha dik, you're allowed to learn on the 9 days because the Gemara says about the 9 days about Tisha B'Av, it's asur to learn because Torah Hashem to mima m'shivas nefesh pekud Hashem sharam b'samcha lev, it gives simcha. In Avelos you don't find any heterim. In the Gemara you find no heterim legabe learning in actual Avelos. In fact, the lashon of the Gemara is that asur to say shmu of agada in the base of avol ella yoshvin v'domim. They have to sit and be quiet in the base of avol. Now we learn one of the lamuds in the Gemara has about avelus is the pasuk says hanik dom, and avelus you should have cry out with silence, and therefore a person has to be silent. They can't have shel shalom, and they can't learn Torah. It's stam. And the Rambam in Hilchos Avelus he just says stam, and avol cannot learn. By Tisha B'Av, we find all these heterim. We find you can learn anything that's sad. Rabbi Meir, we don't hold this way, but Rabbi Meir says anything that you're learning that you've never learned before, it's hard to learn it, so therefore you can learn it on Tisha B'Av. So that, there's no such heter like that by Avelis. And many things in Rishonim, they say, the Ramban points out, we see that there's some heter of learning on Tisha B'Av, because we have Kriyas HaTorah on Tisha B'Av. And Avol, in Avelos, he can't even have an Aliyah. He's not allowed to take an Aliyah. But here we have Aliyahs. He says, why? So what's the pshat? So many Rishonim say that, no, these Heterim are dafka by Tisha B'Av. Because Tisha B'Av, we know, but Makom Mitzvah, it's Mutter. We don't mind that you're learning. Let you learn about the Churban. That's fine. We don't want to be Mevatel people from Torah. And lehafich, that might help the remembrance of the Churban, the Tisha B'Av video, right? That's something that's Tisha B'Av. Avelos, the ikur you don't see. Many Rishonim write that they really don't have any heterim. Lahalachas, there are those who bring over the heterim. But it's interesting, when you look at the Makoros, these heterim are really given b'dafka by Tisha B'Av. Not clear what heterim should be brought over to the Avol. So that's all that point. That Eshev Tisha B'Av, we wanted to learn, we wanted to keep mitzvahs. We're not looking to stop mitzvahs. We're looking to remember the Churban on a tzibritik level. So therefore, we're more mekel. Okay, all right. Okay, so...